ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायण नमस्कृत्यम् नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नस्तापृषु अपात्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भागवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नास्तिकी इदं भगवतां नाम पुराणं ब्रह्मसंहितम् उत्तमश्लोकचरितम् चकार भगवान् ऋषि निःश्रेयसाय लोकस्य धान्यं स्वास्तय नमः। मुखां करोति वाचलां पङ्गुं लङ्घायति गिरिं यत्कृपतां महां वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारणं परमानन्दमाधवं कृष्णेश्वरं जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। Rantrasima Bhagavatam Gichai. So we read from 5th canto Shrimad Bhagavatam, chapter 1, text 7, and I also will take 8 and 9. Atta Bhagavan Adideva Etasya Guna Visargasya Paribrimhana Anudhyana Vyavasita Sakala Jagat Apipraya Atmajonir Akila Nikama Nicha Gana Pariveshtitaha Sapavanat Avatatara Ataha Bhagavan Adideva Itasya Guna Visargasya Hari Brimhana Nudhyana Vyavasita Sakala Chakat Api Praya Atma Yonir Akila Nikuna Nicha Gana Pariveshtita Svapavanat Avatatara Atta, thus, ha, indeed, Bhagavan, the most powerful, Adideva, the first demigod, Etasya, of the universe, Guna Visargasya, the creation of the three modes of material nature. Paribrimhana, the welfare. Anudhyana, always thinking of. Vyavasita, known. Sakala, Jagat, of the universe. Abhipraya, by whom the ultimate purpose. Atma, the Supreme Self, Yoni, whose source of birth, Akila, all, Nigama, by the Vedas, Nichagana, by personal associates, Pariveshtitaha, being surrounded, Svabhavanat, from his own abode, Avatatara, descended. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Gijay. Sri Shukadev Goswami continued, the first created being and most powerful demigod in this universe is Lord Brahma, who is always responsible for developing universal affairs. Born directly from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he dedicates his activities to the welfare of the entire universe, for he knows the purpose of universal creation. Thus, supremely powerful Lord Brahma, accompanied by his associates and the personified Vedas, left his own abode in the highest planetary system and descended to the place of Prince Priyavrata's meditation. Purport. Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Self, Atma, is the source of everything, as explained in the Vedanta Sutra, Jamadi Asayata. Because Brahma was born directly from Lord Vishnu, he is called Atmayoni. He is also called Bhagavan, although generally Bhagavan refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu or Lord Krishna. Sometimes, great personalities such as demigods like Narada or Shiva are also addressed as Bhagavan because they carry out the purpose of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Brahma is called Bhagavan because he is the secondary creator of this universe. He is always thinking of how to improve the situation of the conditioned souls who have come to the material world to enjoy material activities. For this reason, he disseminates the Vedic knowledge throughout the universe for everyone's guidance. Vedic knowledge is divided into two parts, Pravritti Marg and Nivritti Marg. Nivritti Marg is the path of negation or negating sense enjoyment, and Pravritti Marg is the path by which the living entities are given a chance to enjoy and at the same time are directed in such a way that they can go back home, back to Godhead. Because ruling over this universe is a great responsibility, Brahma must force many Manus in different ages to take charge of universal affairs. Under each Manu, there are different kinds, different kings execute the purpose of Lord Brahma. It is understood from the previous explanations that the father of Dhruva Maharaj, King Uttanapad, ruled over the universe because his elder brother Priyavrata practiced austerity from the very beginning of his life. Thus, up to the point of the Prachetas, the kings of the universe were all descendants of Uttanapad Maharaj. Since there were no suitable kings after the Prachetas, Svayambhuva Manu went to the Gandhamadana hill to bring back his eldest son, Priyavrata, who was meditating there. Svayambhuva Manu requested Priyavrata to rule over the universe. Refused, Lord Brahma descended from the supreme planetary system, known as Satyaloka, to request Priyavrata to accept the order. Lord Brahma did not come alone. He came with his other great sages like Marichi, Atreya and Vasishta. To convince Priyavrata that it was necessary for him to follow the Vedic instructions and accept the responsibility of ruling over the world, Lord Brahma also brought with him the personified Vedas, his constant associates. A significant word in this verse is Svabhavanat, indicating that Lord Brahma descended from his own abode. Every demigod has his own abode. The king of the demigods has his own abode, as do Chandra, the lord of the moon planet, and Surya, the predominating deity of the sun planet. There are many millions of demigods, and the stars and planets are their respective homes.
This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Yanti Deva Vrata Devan. Those who worship the demigods go to their different plant resistance. While Brahma's abode is the highest plant resistance, it is called Satyaloka or Sant Brahmaloka. Brahmaloka usually refers to the spiritual world. The abode of Lord Brahma is Satyaloka, but because Lord Brahma resides there, it is also sometimes called Brahmaloka. So also take 8 and 9. As Lord Brahma descended on his carrier, the great swan, Hamsa, all the residents of the planets named Siddhaloka, Gandharvaloka, Satyaloka, and Charanaloka, as well as great sages and demigods, flying in their different airplanes, assembled within the canopy of the sky to receive Lord Brahma and worship him. As he received respect and adoration from the residents of the various planets, Lord Brahma appeared just like a moon surrounded by illuminating stars. Lord Brahma's great swan then arrived at the border of Gandhamadana Hill and approached Prince Priyavrata, who was sitting there. It appears from the description that there is regular interplanetary travel between the planets of the demigods. Another significant point is that there is a planet covered mostly by great mountains, one of which is Gandhamadana Hill. Three great personalities, Priyavrata, Narada, and Svayambhuva Manu, were sitting on this hill. According to Brahma Samhita, each universe is filled with different plant resistance, and every system has a unique opulence. For example, on Siddhaloka, all the residents are very advanced in the powers of mystic yoga. They can fly from one planet to another without airplanes or other flying machines. Similarly, the residents of Gandharvaloka are expert in musical science, and those on Satyaloka are all great saints. The interplanetary system undoubtedly exists, and residents of this may go from one to another. On this earth, however, we have not invented any machine that can go directly from one planet to another, although an unsuccessful attempt has been made to go directly to the moon. And text 9. Lord Brahma, the father of Narada Muni, is the supreme person within this universe. As soon as Narada saw the great swan, he could understand that Lord Brahma had arrived. Therefore, he immediately stood up, along with Svayambhuva Manu and his son Priyavrata, whom Narada was instructing. Then they folded their hands and began to worship Lord Brahma with great respect. As stated in the previous verse, Lord Brahma was accompanied by other demigods, but he specifically was the great swan. Therefore, as soon as Narada Muni saw the swan, he could understand that his father, Lord Brahma, who is also known as Hiranyagarbha, was arriving. Thus, he immediately stood up with Svayambhuva Manu and his son Priyavrata to receive Lord Brahma and offer him respect. So here in the beginning of the fifth canto is a description about Priyavrata, another descendant of Manu. There are 14 Manus in a day of Brahma. And the first one is called Svayambhuva Manu. Manu means the father of mankind. That means he's in charge for the people, meeting population, especially on the Earth planet and other planets in this universe. He had two sons and three daughters. Svayambhuva Manu. He's the first Manu. So he had two sons, The first one we already heard elaborately in four canto. Is called, his name was Uttanapad. He became the king. And the other son was Priyavrata. He was actually the eldest son. But Priyavrata, right, like there are so many instances in Bhagavatam where the eldest son not interested in taking over the kingdom of his father, and the father retires because he's interested in his own liberation, in his own self-realization. So therefore he goes away from the kingdom in the forest or on a mountain, like Priyavrata here in this story. In early age, he left the home of or the kingdom and went to Gandhamadana mountain, one of the famous great mountains here in Bharatvarsha, where he performed meditation under the guidelines of his guru, Narada Muni. Again, Narada. Narada, the universal guru, Jagat Guru, son of Brahma. He cannot avoid to stop long time in one place. He always travels and he wants to liberate for the benefit of the conditioned souls, liberating them from the cycle of birth and death. He has great compassion and he has no tolerance to stay too long in the material world. So he always likes to help some candidates, some devotees, whom he sees that they are proper candidates to receive the mercy, to give them the quick access to the spiritual world, the express to the spiritual world. As Prabhupada is pointing out here in the purport, there are two paths in general described in the Vedas. One is the Pravritti Mark. That means that path by your own endeavor, you try to self and become perfect. And the other one is Nivritti. Nivritti is the descending. Pravritti is the empiric. Like the philosophers, the yogis, the jnanis, even the karmis, they're actually empiricists. They try by their own endeavor to elevate and to achieve success either in karma, jnana, or in yoga, perfections. All three of them want to attain perfection. The karmis want to attain perfection by fruitive activity. Who can be the best enjoyer? And maybe to elevate themselves to better and better positions, either in this world, in this life, or in the next life, better in this life already, to improve better and better. So he wants to attain perfection in karma, in fruitive activities, in enjoyment. And the jnanis, they want to attain perfection by knowledge of the Vedas, knowledge of the self. Become so much perfect by knowledge that they understand that we are eternal, that we are spirit soul. But still, on that platform is no active service to the Lord. It's still ego. Therefore, the karmi and the jnani, they are driven by the ego. And the yogi, too, is driven by the ego because he wants to attain siddhis, astha siddhis. Mystical perfections. And for that, take up many austerities, restraints, controlling the senses and the mind to ultimately attain liberation. So the path of the Vedas ultimately should lead to mukti or moksha. But most of the people, they are not interested in that path of liberation. Directly, they want to first go through sense gratification
or attain knowledge, become a philosopher or a jnani, and ultimately a yogi. But Lord Chaitanya is pointing out they cannot be satisfied ultimately because they still have desire on their own, for their own gratification, own enjoyment. Therefore, they cannot ultimately become happy, and they can also not be ultimately peaceful, shanti. So Narad Muni, therefore, he wants to uplift the karmis, jnanis, and yogis, those whom he considers fit, or wants to give his mercy, to elevate them, to give them directly the bhakti process, bhakti kanda. It's a kevala ananda kanda. The pure path given by the Lord and his dear devotees directly to a candidate. And in this way, by this descending process, nivritti, free of karma, jnana, and yoga perfections, a devotee becomes perfect by the mercy of the devotee and by the mercy of Krishna. And this is actually the ultimate perfection. And Narada, actually Priyavrata, he wanted to perform tapasya in this mountain, Gandhamadana. And Narada came there to instruct him about the highest purpose of life, of tapasya, and give him the highest process of bhakti, of bhakti yoga. In the meantime, Uttama, his younger brother, who became the king, Uttanapad, he, by the mercy of Lord, of Narada, he became Vanaprastha and went to the spiritual world. The Prachetas also left already, the 10 sons, who also became kings. So there was no king. So Manu, in great anxiety, because he always thinks about how to populate the universe, how to rule the world. He had no descendant. He had no son now who could take over the kingdom. So he thought, oh, now I have to go directly to Priyavrata, my eldest son, and request him, urge him, now take up this responsibility now. But Priyavrata didn't accept it from his father. Familiarity breeds contempt. Actually, he should accept from the father his instruction and please him, because that's a Vedic rule, to please the father. Father is representative of God, and we should always try to please him and to follow his instruction. He's the first guru. Of course, one instruction we can avoid, we can reject, if the father asks you to marry, in case you are very determined in brahmachari, or to become a devotee. Then that's the only instruction of the father and also of the guru to reject. We know instance. Brahma requested the four Kumaras to marry because they were the first sons. Bala Krishna. Because they were his first sons. But the four Kumaras rejected the instruction of their father to marry. To get children. So Brahma became very upset. He became very angry on his four sons
and out of this anger from between his eyebrows, Rudra appeared, anger, personified, who later on became also known as Shiva, the destroyer of the universe. So that's one instance where we already know from beginning of universe that the Son rejects the Father's instruction to beget children, to marry. We have here another instance of Priyavrata, who also rejected the Father's desire to leave his tapasya, his meditation, and come back to the kingdom and become a king. And as a king, he cannot stay brahmachari unless you are Bhishma. But that's a special case in Bhishma. That's a known history. But this is a unique example of Bhishma, how he actually stayed brahmachari, although he was a kshatriya, and he was on the level of the king. He could become king, but he didn't want to accept the kingdom because of his dedication and service to his father to please him. Shantanu Maharaj. But that's a known history. So Bhishma Dev, he stayed brahmachari. But in general, the kshatriyas are not known as brahmacharis. They have to be grihasthas. They have to stay in the grihastha ashram. And Priyavrata was a brahmachari. He was a kshatriya. But he wanted to go through brahmachari and tapasya and become a meditator, a devotee. So ultimately, if you become a devotee, if you want to attain highest goal, doesn't matter who you are. Kiva vipra, kiva nyasi, shudra kenanoi, ye Krishna tattva veta, se guru hoi. If you are a king, if you are a brahmana, if you are a grihastha, if you are a vanaprastha, if you are a shudra, even outcast, mlecha, yavana, dog eater, everyone will become purified if one takes the process of bhakti yoga or devotional service. So therefore, Priyavrata, although he was a prince, he wanted to immediately go into meditation. So because that's the supreme duty of all living entities, of all the castes, of Shudras, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Brahmanas, all the castes, ultimately, their duty is to become a servant of Krishna. Dharma svanusita pumsham vishvakshena katasuyat napadayid yadiratim shrama eva hikevalam. Bhagavatam, at the beginning, it says that any kind of occupation, dharma, in the varnashram, dharma system, if it should be meant for pleasing Lord Vishnu, the Lord of all activities and sacrifice, bhaktaram yagatapasam sarva lokameshwaram. So to please him. Otherwise, we perform activities for our own sense gratification. It's just a waste of time. So therefore, Varnashram actually is meant to please Lord Vishnu. Not just the society and ourselves to attain success. It means to please Vishnu. If Vishnu is pleased in through Varnashram, then Varnashram is accepted. If Vishnu is not pleased in your Varnashram duty, and he wants to have you to become a devotee and surrender directly to him and engage in highest welfare activity, give Krishna consciousness to others, and also for that purpose to save yourself, one has to accept that. So then that is beneficial. Otherwise it's sense gratification. Even tapasya can be sense gratification if it is, if the plan of the Lord and his representative is not supporting your plan. Then even tapasya and your own liberation, it's secondary. So this is the story here, example here of Priyavrata. One can see Priyavrata was interested in meditation, in his own perfection, in spiritual life. But ultimately, because his father, Svayambhuva Manu, who was a great authority, he's the son of Brahma. He's empowered. The Manus are empowered to give guidelines to the humanity, to populate the universe and give guidelines and protect. This is Manu's duty. Purana has 10 subjects. First one, Sarga, Visarga, creation of Vishnu, then the secondary creation, Brahma's creation, then Uta, population of universe, the protection of the universe, dissemination of universe, how the population can be increased, and so on, up to liberation, mukti, and ultimately taking shelter, ashraya, in the Supreme Lord Krishna's lotus feet. So here in these chapters of our canto, fourth canto and fifth canto, the description, these chapters especially describing the descendants of Manu. It describes about how the universe became populated through the different kings in the different dynasties, from the moon god, sun god, and also from Manu's dynasty. And it also shows how the Lord protects the universe and his different devotees. So the Puranas, great history, showing us a greater history. And it shows us in the story of Priyavrata, how Priyavrata ultimately accepted the instruction from Brahma. Because Brahma is Param Guru, he's the Adidev, the first demigod in the universe, he's Svayambhuva, a direct son of Lord Narayana. He has no material father or mother. And he is like a Shakti Avesh avatar, a Guna avatar, great personality. Therefore, Brahma also sometimes is described as Bhagavan, because he's wonderful, empowered by the Lord's power for his mission. So Brahma is described here. He knows the plan of the universe, the purpose of the universe, that ultimately all living entities should become protected by a good king, and so that they ultimately can become peaceful, performing their duties, and become fixed on Vishnu, on Krishna, and engage in devotional service. So Brahma came personally with his associates on the Hamsa, on his swan carrier, Hamsa Vahan. That's a carrier of Brahma. So Brahma, he came, and everyone rise from his seats, even Narada, Svayambhuva Manu, and Priyavrata. They rise from their seat and greeted, namaskar, offered obeisances, namaste to the Lord of the universe, Lord Brahma. He was very effulgent, very wonderful picture, you know, how the swan carrier Brahma comes, you know, surrounded with many other personalities, great sages, and Gandharvas and Apsaras, and the Vedas personified, they're always surrounding Brahma wherever he goes, especially in his palace, in Brahmaloka or Satyaloka. And whenever he goes, he's like a king. All his entourage goes with him. and appear now on God Mountain to give instruction, requesting Priyavrata, the son of Svayambhu, who could not hear on his father's request, and what to do, because Narada Muni was there. Narada, his guru personally, was still there, and Priyavrata was under his tutelage, under his guidance. So he was, what to do? There was a guru, there was the father. The guru asked his disciple, or guides him for spiritual perfection. Father comes, now you should come home. So there was quite an friction there. Because both were right. Narada was right, Svayambhu Manu was right. Because Svayambhu Manu is himself an authority. A great authority. And he knows what is right. That spiritual life is also important. But he also thought, what is the use if you perform spiritual life for your own sense gratification, if now the kingdom, and if the kingdom has no king, then the dacoits will come, like to Maharaj Prithu's time. Dacoits will come, thieves will come, and will make a lot of disturbance in the universe and in the kingdom, and will disturb the citizens. The citizens will not have their peace. They cannot perform their occupations properly, especially not for the pleasure of Vishnu, but for the pleasure, only for the pleasure of the demons, of materialists, who have no proper dharma, no proper conduct or behavior. So, therefore, it is... it's very important, a good king and a proper guidance for the citizens, so that they ultimately can be protected and to attain perfection also in spiritual life ultimately. So therefore, Svayambhu Manu, although he wanted to urge his son to go into action in this way, son refused. Because he has faith in Narada. So he refused. So therefore, Brahma, who also knew, he's like the super soul, he also knew what is going on in the universe, so he came directly to convince Priyavrata. And in the next verses, we will hear how Brahma is instructing Priyavrata to that actually... Your endeavor for spiritual perfection, it's in this connection here, in this situation, in this urgent situation, your own sense gratification. Therefore, you should give it up. You should give up meditation. Although meditation is recommended, but in this case, you should give it up and take over the kingdom, become a king, and you will get the blessing. Because Priyavrata was he was afraid. Oh, if I will become a king, I will become entangled in mundane activities as a king. Like Brahma also, he had his own experience. Brahma, he thought, oh, if I will take this creation according to Lord Narayana's desire to create this universe, oh, I will become entangled myself in it. Because I will become involved in the gunas, especially passion and ignorance. And in this way, my meditation will be finished. So one experience, how the Lord urged him, no, you take this, you should surrender to this universal creation mission. You should do it. And I give you the blessing. You will not become entangled in your own creation, in your own work. And now the same realization, the same experience that Brahma got, he wanted to give now to Priyavrata, and he blessed him.
although you're not meditating now in a renounced way, as you think it is meditation, because we always think in our way what is spiritual, what is meditation. Therefore give up everything, go on a solitary place, because we think this is spiritual, this is meditation. There I can chant peacefully and meditate about Krishna and about Krishna Lila. But we always forget, we take something with us. Wherever we go, we take this with us, our impressions given by the Father and of the society. So we take with us. And although Priyavrata had a good attempt in his progress in spiritual life, and he didn't want to entangle, so he had a good inclination. But Brahma wanted to convince him. No, in this case, in your case, meditation and your yoga process is your own sense gratification. So give it up. Take up a higher form of yoga. The higher form of yoga is to engage in the society and helping other people to come in contact with Krishna. And for that, what you're doing here in the mountain? Here in the mountain you can just save yourself, but millions of living human beings will go to hell because they don't have proper king, they have no proper guidance. And in case you are afraid that you will become entangled in your rulership as a king, I give you a blessing. Because Brahma, as an empowered Lord, Lord of the universe, as Shakti Avesha Avatar and Guna Avatar, is Hiranyagarbha. Actually, Brahma has two aspects. Hiranyagarbha is a subtle aspect for disseminating sense gratification in this universe. And there is an Vairaja Brahma. The Vairaja Brahma, he manifests the universal affairs, or the universal form, or the cross-universal creation. And there's even a third form of Brahma, is the four-headed Brahma, who is actually a Jiva, who is empowered by the Lord for with his four heads, that is going proper. So here the Brahma is described as Hiranyagarbha. That means Hiranyagarbha, who is in charge for the dissemination for the universe, that the population is going on. It's a subtle form, who became also manifested in Brahma. So Brahma, therefore, is addressed here as Hiranyagarbha, who came here with a specific mission to convince Priyavrata for taking up the kingdom. And he blessed him, you will not become entangled, even though you have wives, you have children, you will have a big kingdom, big responsibility, but we bless you all with all the sages and all the godly beings. And Brahma, we bless you all that you will not become entangled, you are protected. So therefore, from Priyavrata we can learn how to accept the higher order of the Guru or Param Guru and take it as your life and soul. Give up your own consideration, what is right and what is wrong, what is beneficial, what is spiritual. Because who will tell us what is spiritual, what is to be done, how I have to act in the right way? This is given by Parampara, by Guru, or Param Guru, Spiritual Master.
who actually gives us life's mission. That gives us the purpose. That gives us the power, the intelligence, and also the... So in the mission of the Spiritelmeister, if we follow the mission of the Spiritelmeister, we get the power, we get the intelligence, and we get the protection. And only by taking shelter in the instruction of the Spiritelmeister, of the higher authority coming from Brahma, actually our life can become perfect. Otherwise, if we are meditating and try to do something according to our own plan, according to our own desire, it will be a failure. It's a failure. Although Narada, although Priyavrata was under Narada's direction, but because Narada's guru, personal guru Brahma, came, so Narada was, clicked off in this case. So Narada was not, Narada's instruction was not relevant in this case because the Param Guru, Brahma, came and told personally to Priyavrata, no, finish with your meditation. Follow my advice now. No? And my advice now is you should take up the kingdom, become a grihastha, become a king, have children, and take care for the citizens. So that only thanks to you, to your powerful guidance, they all become saved and can become benefited. And so in this way, Brahma, engaged Priyavrata in a much higher mission than his own liberation, because he wanted to that his this great devotee. He knew he's very powerful, he's very dedicated, very determined. Priyavrata. His vrata was very dear to him. He stick to his vrata, whatever vow he took, he stick to it. So Brahma, he knew, if this Priyavrata, his son, descendant, eldest son of Svayambhuva Manu, if he will take the responsibility, then my universal plan will become perfect. It will be good. And if he will not take, then the blunder. If he will not take up the responsibility, the whole universal plan that I made and all will go to hell. So in Kali Yuga we see the whole situation becomes hellish because we have no qualified leaders like Priyavrata. Representatives of Manu, representatives of Brahma, who are actually taking care and protecting the citizens. In this age, only is one process, Sankirtan Yajna. We should not create unlimited children by simial way, by mothers and fathers. That's the ordinary bird. Everyone goes through. But the second bird, the Dvija, is coming from the spiritual master. And this is given by the spreading of Krishna consciousness, by giving this shiksha, giving this instruction given by Lord Chaitanya to everyone we meet, wherever we go. And therefore, that's our slogan now, also in the marathon. Wherever you go and whoever you meet, give them a book of Srila Prabhupada. This is our slogan. Wherever you go and wherever you meet, always have some book with you, and give this knowledge about Krishna. Because that's Lord Chaitanya's instruction. Yare deke tare kahe, Krishna upadesh, amara gyaya guru hana tara edesh. Wherever you go, whomever you meet, give them the knowledge about Krishna. The best knowledge about Krishna you can give them by giving them a book. Give them Bhagavad Gita, give them Krishna book, where they have the instruction, the Krishna upadesh. Of the realized devotee, of the most empowered devotee of this age, Srila Prabhupada, who gives his great mercy through his shiksha. He's the shiksha guru of all members in ISKCON. So everyone should try to follow his instruction because he's above everyone of gurus now in ISKCON. So your guru maybe tells you something, No, but Prabhupada tells, he also says, it's very important to distribute books. If you want to please me, distribute my books. Spread Krishna consciousness, preach. Distribute books, lift the books, and read the books. So this is that's what emphasized again and again. We have a personal experience and heard so many times how Prabhupada was happy when he was in Prabhupada in his room. He was still translating his books even to the end. 10th canto, 13th chapter, 13th chapter. He was practically on the deathbed and he was dictating his books. He could hardly speak, he could hardly move. We can see in the movie, in the video, how Prabhupada was dictating. And how Prabhupada, wherever he saw a new book coming out, how he became completely enlivened, how happy he became. He was so much inspired. And he even told sometimes that whenever a new book is coming out, I feel like I conquered the whole empire. We all know how dear Prabhupada's book distribution is to him. It's his heart. Lakshmi's BBT or Prabhupada's books printing is his heart. So these two always have to go together. To engage this in the printing of books and in the distributing of more and more books. And so in this way, Krishna consciousness will spread more and more. So this is Prabhupada's instruction to all members in ISKCON. Especially therefore we have this Prabhupada Marathon. Prabhupada Marathon actually originally was called Xmas, Christmas Marathon in the 70s. But then later on in the 80s, we thought, why this marathon has to be known according to Christmas, to Jesus Christ. After all, what have these books to Jesus Christ and with the Christianity Christmas celebration? The only thing what it has to do, it is favorable because many, many people are looking now to buy presents, gifts, you know, to lie under the Christmas tree to give to their dear family members. This is the original purpose of Christmas Marathon. But then later on, it was considered, it's actually better to call it a Prabhupada Marathon, because Prabhupada Marathon is connected or related with Prabhupada directly. And because we all know book distribution was very dear to Prabhupada, his life and soul, his heart. And therefore, it's actually very nice that every member in ISKCON should try to go out and distribute books to whoever you meet, wherever you go. Try to use your intelligence, your facilities, your opportunities, your situation, and give somehow other people these books and make them happy. So every book is, yes, even if you don't distribute so many books, always say, there's a saying, this inspires me always the most, a steady drop on a stone holds the stone or washes away the stone. Water is very soft and it's only an insignificant drop. But always a steady drop falling on the same spot of the same place or spot of the stone, even a big boulder stone. If this drop is always going continuously, dropping, the big stone becomes diminished and becomes washed away. So we all have stone in our heart. The heart is like stone. As long as it is not soft, melted by love to Krishna, it becomes stone, stone-like heart, or steel-framed heart. And only by the steady drop of taking this ointment of Prabhupada's books in our heart and also of the distribution of it. It will soften our heart. It washes gradually away the ego, our false ego, and it also washes away the big social boulder of materialistic ego, what is bordering or burdening the whole materialistic society. So it's the only hope to distribute more and more books. And for distributing books, we also have to read the books personally as a medicine, as an ointment, or medicine, so that we have relishing Rasayana Katha, this medicine, and then we are able to also give others and convince others. And this is the highest mission of Parampara in our line. And if we are doing that, we can actually please Spiritual Master and all the Parampara. We don't have to become renunciates for that mission. We can stay Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasi, or be occupied in any kind of occupation in the society. Still, this is not a hindrance. It's not an obstacle of spreading Krishna consciousness. So everyone has a certain facility and opportunity. And by doing that, we can try to please Srila Prabhupada and Parampara. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi Haribol. Srila Prabhupada Ki.